today on Real Radio.
The Bible warns us that as Christians, we are tempted to put on a mask. We want you to think different of us. What we don't want you to do is think about who we really are. And that needs to be repented of.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues our series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter, with a message called The Anointing of His Word, Part 1. You know, the Apostle Peter was a disciple of Christ who later on became the leader of the first church. Peter is writing now to Christians who are learning how to live out their faith in a whole new world. They faced incredible opposition. Suffering and sorrow awaited them at every turn. Sounds a lot like today, doesn't it? In the Gospels, we saw Peter the fisherman. In chapter 1 of 1 Peter, we saw Peter the theologian. Now in chapter 2, we see Peter as the expositor, or the one who explains. He'll draw from the history of his forefathers found in God's Word to make his point. The Hebrew prophets taught us to live a godly life, and Peter encourages us to love one another even when we're surrounded by hate. So today on day 2 of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that we are at war with an old deception. There are those who'd like to promote a different Jesus than that of the Bible. But we can never be deceived as long as we keep our minds on Christ and set aside our fallen nature that's bent on destruction. And now in his message called The Anointing of His Word, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
I want you to be taking this data as though you're putting on a helmet and you're getting your gear suited up. Just think about that. David's going to be heading down to Camp Pendleton, and he's going to get suited up. And it's no joke. And at some point in time, they're going to take him out to the California desert, and they're going to have live ammo, live round firing. So what is that? That means they're going to shoot back at you with real bullets. Why? Because in war, there's real bullets. In church, we got to get it going, church. We're living in the 21st century. The church is not nearing its retirement. We're approaching the finish line. It's not time to get ready to give up. It's time to fight harder to the end. And to know that there's a world out there that is against your marriage. So suit up the armor of God. There's a world out there ready to devour your kids. I'm exercising great self-control right now because I've been studying about what's coming against your children. And you will not be able to convince me that it's not spiritually driven. The power players of this world are being, they don't realize it, but they're being manipulated by spiritual powers to control the thinking of your children. I had a meeting with a senator this week who turned, he's been studying Ronald Reagan's history for his life, just about, and he wound up telling me a great quote that I've never heard before by Ronald Reagan. And Ronald Reagan said, regarding communism, he said, it's the most effective lie since the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve were told that they could become God too. Wow. And you think about that statement by Ronald Reagan. Did not Satan tell Adam and Eve, you can become like a God? And Reagan said, communism is the second worst lie that was ever perpetrated against man. That there is no God. Satan knows something about that. He knows that if you can think that there is no God, then by default, the human nature will assume the place, though we would never say so, that we're the God of what we do. Watch out, Christian. Put on your gear. You'll never be deceived as long as you're immersed in the Word of God. And Peter is saying this profoundly. Lay aside. The Word is powerful. Put it off. Put what off? Put the things that we're going to look at in a moment off from you. Tear it off. Listen, the word means lay it aside. Take off the clothes. One of the translations of the early Puritans said, strip off your clothing of the past. I like that. Strip off your clothing. Think about working in the yard, or maybe you're working under the car, or you come home from the construction site, or you just, for that matter, you just flat out stink from your day, and you come home, and your wife or your husband says, listen, you need to get in the tub. You need to get washed. You need to get taken care of. You can't come into the house smelling like this. You understand what I'm saying? So the enemy wants you to get your eyes off the truth of God's word and to get you on something else. And so Peter is saying, Christian, to survive the days of these last days, you've got to strip off certain things. Now let's look at our Bibles to what those things are. All malice. The word malice means general. This is funny, general. Like there's a general common evil. But it means all that is evil. All that is under the umbrella of evil. Now watch, this is convicting. It may not be for you, but it's terribly convicting for me because I can waste my time watching TV. I am literally addicted to documentaries. You say, oh, I got to watch sports. I could care less. That's not my thing. You know what tempts me? It's not the Angels. It's not the Dodgers. It's not. What tempts me is on Thursday night, Smithsonian will debut a thing on George Washington. And I'm like this. Oh, my gosh. Set my timer. And all that's fine, I guess. Unless the world has drawn my attention to itself and busyness, even the church business, rather than being with God. So it doesn't have to be some blatant evil. It means this. Remove from you, church, things that trouble you between you and God. What is that? Oh my goodness. Could we not spend the rest of the day right here? What are those things that trouble you between you and God? The word means wickedness. Listen to this. The word means innuendo. You ever heard that word before? Dirty jokes. Suggestive talk. The word means crude, suggestive actions or words. The Bible says, throw it off. Christian, stop flirting. God speaks to us and says, that's not right. That's not good. Wow. We need to meditate in that. Peter's saying, listen, we're in a warfare, and the enemy's very, very subtle, and he's very, very wicked. And one of the things that he's going to do is going to try to get you to go back and lean on the things of the past, and it's going to be all of the innuendo. You're going to have a tendency. Listen, church, don't worry. I'm not going to call upon you because I already know that this describes you and me. There is a bizarre tendency in our fallen nature, though we are Christians today, that there's an allurement to innuendo. There's something that is interesting to us. We have to fight that. Christians, we need to fight. The next word is deceit. He says we need to throw off, cast away, strip off deceit. The word means to, listen to this, to bait or to craft or to by stealth go about to deceive someone. We've got to watch out. Just because somebody says they are a Christian, listen, could mean they're a real Christian. But they might have a motive. It's an amazing world you and I live in. Do you know your heart? I don't. Exactly. Jeremiah says, I can't know it. So when somebody comes along and says, hey, Jack, I got to tell you something. The Lord told me to tell you. How do you know that? I'm going to tell them right up front. You need to give me, whoops, you need to give me Bible verse. You need to give me Bible verse and chapter. And it's got to be in context. Well, I had a dream last night, and the Lord told me to tell you, if God wants me to have that, he'll give me the dream too. I'm dead serious. I'm not being rude. God bless your Christian friends. But just because our Christian friends tell us stuff doesn't mean God's the one saying it. Watch out. That's on the benign, innocent side. What about the blatantly deceptive side? And then the word is hypocrisy. He says, peel off. This is amazing because the Bible is implying that you and I are Christians and we need to daily, think about it, peel off Hypocrisy. Now, who's going to admit to that today? Who is going to admit to that today that I'm a hypocrite? But the Bible says we are. We have to fight it every day. You look so cute and so sweet, you little hypocrite, you. You say, oh, Jack, you know, I see you up there. What you see is a hypocrite. That's what the Bible says. It means, listen, in my life, as in yours, constantly bombarded with all these things that are coming against us. And one of the things that comes against us is for me to play the hypocrite. In ancient Greek mythology and history, there's Janus, with a friend of mine pointed out today, that's his wife's name. But he said, it's spelled different. And he's correct, it's spelled different, thank God. If your name's Janus, it's okay. But Janus with a U is an ancient god. In fact, you guys have the slide of that guy? We didn't kind of prepare, I kind of threw it at you guys, if you have it. There he is. If you go to the Vatican, which I encourage all of you to go, you'll see Janus. This is not a knockoff. This is Janus. You see a problem with that guy? We say he's... You're very good. We say he's two-faced. He's two-faced. Why? You ask Janus for direction and you might get, go west, young man, go west. And then the other part of Janus says, move out of California today. What do? You see? No, don't move out of California yet. You can move out of California after you vote for governor. Then you can move out of California. So wait till November and then move. Take me with you, but let's vote first. Next picture, if you guys have it. Oh, you recognize that? The Screen Actors Guild. Bunch of hypocrites. Oh, that felt good to say that. But that's their logo. That's their logo. You would say, oh, their logo is Janus, the ancient god. No. Listen, the hypocrite is the person. Watch me. In fact, I want to be careful. Make sure I get it right. To wear the mask. Watch. It means to put on a face for the moment. You can be a hypocrite in church right now.
Oh, praise the Lord.
And yet that's not how you live. It means to hide behind the mask. It means to wear a mask. And listen, what is implied is that the mask that you're wearing allows you to either act like someone that you are not, or it allows us to act like a person that we want to be like. So watch. What if I'm wearing a mask of a person that I want to be? What if I'm wearing a mask that allows me to act or be like somebody that I really want to be like, but the mask gives me the license to go do it? Guess what? We have another word or words for this. We have the word Mardi Gras. Now, Mardi Gras means what it means, but what is the practice of Mardi Gras? I don't encourage you, do not open your phone now and go to images on Mardi Gras because it's pornographic. And you think of that for a moment. What's going on? People are dressed up, radically enjoying themselves, doing lewd and immoral things that the mask that they're wearing allows them to do. Does this make sense to people? Do you get that? I'll make it more, acceptable to us. Have you noticed that when you wear a suit, gentlemen, you act different when you wear a suit? I don't like it because I'm playing the hypocrite. No, really. I mean, I got to go to events. I was at a wonderful event, by the way. I'm grateful. I loved it. Had enjoyed every moment of it. But I just couldn't relax. It wasn't because of my table that I was at or what I was doing there or who was in attendance. But my goodness, I had the joyous opportunity of sitting with Dennis Prager and others, and it was a wonderful moment. It was a great, great time. But I didn't like it for one reason. I was wearing a suit, and that's not me. But I was playing, as it were, the hypocrite, as it were. I was wearing something else. And that's it on the gentle side of things. But there are people who live life. And the Bible warns us that as Christians, We are tempted to put on a mask. We want you to think different of us. What we don't want you to do is think about who we really are. And that needs to be repented of. It needs to be repented of in your relationships. How many of you are dating somebody? A couple of you? Some of you can't admit that because the person that you're with right now, we have counseling for you after service. When that person that you're dating says thus and so about themselves, how do you know? How do you know? You don't know what's up. Especially for many of us who were abused or traumatized as young people. We put up a mask. We can put up a mask that we think is safe. We got to hide behind this mask because, God forbid, I let somebody in who can really know who I am, then they won't love me. And God comes up to you. And I'm looking around this room right now. God comes up to us. God comes up to us. Tommy, God comes up to us. God comes up to us. Mike, God comes up to us. Sharon, God comes up to us. And have you noticed? He so lovingly and gentle begins to put the mask down. He puts his hand at the top of the mask and just begins to push it down. A lot of us guys who've had a bad life have this thing about, nothing can bother me. The truth is, everything bothers you. You're concerned about everything. That's why the joy of the Lord is your strength. It's not the opinion of people. You can't experience the joy of the Lord being your strength until you allow Jesus Christ to walk up to you and put his hand at the top of the mask, and he just slowly puts it down. And he exposes, just you and him together, he exposes who you are. And you're naked and open before the Lord, and he says, listen, I got you. He's not going to go up one side and down the other and point out all of your problems. He says, I died on the cross for all of those problems, which are the issues of your life. I got it from here, Jack. I'll take it from here. We either have our masks built up, pretending to be somebody else, or we're letting Jesus heal us. That's the life of the believer. But the world is wearing a mask. And I would say now, the masks are starting to come off, but the conduct is not being hidden. Did you know there's a rise in costume parties that are orgy costume parties? People dress up with a mask, and the whole evening ends in orgies. Did you know those are rising in the young community today? On a more benign sense, as it were, we see people dressed up in Halloween costumes at work. Is it interesting that most people who dress up in their Halloween costumes at work is either some sort of terrorized murderer or some sort of Playboy bunny or prostitute? Why do they dress like that? Oh, it's just funny. Could it be something's on the inside of you that wants to come out? I saw recently a poster for Gay Pride for Long Beach, the big gay pride parade. Now, I don't know what you think about that. It's a free country. You can have a parade. But when the police are told, stand down, when you see all these pornographic acts being done on floats and down the street, in Long Beach, officers, stand down. Don't get involved. And it's online. Listen, what's up? We live in a culture where not only the mask, the Christian wears a mask, we need to get rid of the mask because Jesus knows who we are, but the world is taking off its mask. Either God is taking down your mask to heal you, or you're taking off your mask to actually bring yourself deeper into a state of condemnation. Let God take off your mask. And Peter says, get rid of it. Get off of it. The Bible says in Proverbs 29, verse 18, when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. The next word is envy. Envy, by the way, is the root to jealousy. By the way, envy is believed to be the root to murder. Did you know that? Envy. The Bible says, get off of it. Get away from it. I'm going through this quickly, but man, this is serious stuff. Do you know that these are the things that keep you and I from getting deeper with Jesus? Do we need to go any further on this? As a church, I know we're here, and some of you may be visiting, and it's a church, you have to stick to the protocol. I hate the protocol. I don't know why we just can't have one big service all day long. No, listen. If God is speaking to our hearts about envy, that is a deep, deep-seated thing. You're not condemned, Christian. You're a Christian. You're going to heaven. The Lord is saying to you this morning, I want to do more with you. I want you to know more of me. We got to get this junk out of the way. So cast it off, strip it off, peel it off. You ever been out in the sun too much? Too much. One day, too much. You go out in the sun. You haven't been out in the sun. You go out in the sun and you're just absolute honky white. And you go out into the sun and you get burned. And you know what? The next 3 days after that, you start to peel. Just peel it off. Envy. Deceit. Let it go. Peel it off. Then the word, hang on, you guys ready? Oh, maybe you should just leave now before we get to the evil speaking part. Evil speaking. The word kind of, the actual Greek words is kind of funny. It's one word. I can't even say it right. I'll say it slowly. It's katalala. Katalala. It sounds wrong. Well, aren't you just a katalala? Boy, look at over them, just catalaling it up. What does it mean? It means to gossip with the intent to tear someone down. It means to load your mouth and to turn around and say to someone else without that person able to defend themselves, which most often means they're not present. And you say something like, oh, well, you know who they really are, don't you? Well, let me tell you a little bit about them. Some morsel. For some reason, the human heart, even the Christian human heart, is drawn to, hey, did you guys hear what happened? What happened? I need to know so I can pray about it. You know how much sin goes on in a prayer meeting? Dear Lord, you know, we pray for our brother. Nobody knows in the whole room, but Lord, we pray for our brother. And, well, Lord, you know that he, you're sinning. In a prayer meeting, to gossip with the intent to tear someone's character down, to speak in a disparaging way of another. We get the word slander from this, to degrade someone. It can also mean to be unwise in the use of information about someone. When given the opportunity, you can either say nothing or you can say something good or you can catalala. And you seize upon the moment to tear them down. It's sin. It's sin. It's happening a lot today.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in his message called The Anointing of His Word, Part 1. We're so glad you joined us today. And let's not indulge in our wants at the expense of our souls. Instead, let's turn to God's Word for all that we could ever want or need. The Anointing of His Word, Part 1, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, A Study in 1 Peter, a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through great persecution, and whose compassion for others still inspires us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, there are a lot of voices out there shouting this and that, spreading their own personal agendas, but Peter warns us not to conform to worldly opinions, and instead set ourselves apart from them. One thing that can help us, though, is that we fill our minds and our hearts with the Word of God and to have a quiet time with the Lord. You see, He speaks to us with a still small voice, but His words, they're powerful enough to change our lives for the better. So, if you have yet to start a devotional time or you just need some direction, we would love to help you with that. Pastor Jack has new weekly devotions on his website that he's personally written, and that includes a Bible verse and a conversation that relates to specific verses. So simply go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org, click on that Devotions tab. You'll also find previous devotions you can tap into and enjoy every day of the week. There's even a link where you can email us if you've been blessed and you want to share your experience. Again, go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.